Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show as week three of the NFL season does kick off tonight in Cleveland as you have the Steelers and the Browns. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. Appreciate you tuning in today across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. You could always give me a follow on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Donovan McNabb, number five, going to stop by 2 hours from now, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. And I guess he's over the Colts flu. Back in the studio for the next 4 hours, was out sick the last 2 days because he had a little Colt syndrome there, losing syndrome. I get it. His team lost. He showed up Monday, took the beating, and then on Tuesday and Wednesday, he called out sick. Is the great Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
Yeah, I don't know about that excuse either, Hot Take Hickey. Oh, I wasn't feeling well. I was a little bit under the weather the last 2 days. I think this is all about the Indianapolis Colts and that pathetic, dreadful, disappointing organization. We'll let Hot Take Hickey try to defend himself later on in the extravaganza. But we're going to start the show off today. And if you would have told me today we would have been talking about the NBA in any capacity, I would be stunned. But there's been two stories, and during the start of football season, I just like to go NFL, college, NFL, college, NFL, and college. But these two stories are unavoidable. So Robert Sarver is selling the Phoenix Suns. We all know that he made misogynistic and racist comments. There was an investigation. He got suspended for a year, $10 million fine. And at first, there was a lot of backlash. Well, why is he even allowed to own the team anymore? And people did not think that the punishment fit the crime, and it should have been more, and he should never be able to be an owner again in the NBA. So Robert Sarver, on earlier this week, he announced that he begun the process to sell the Phoenix Suns and the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. And when he released this statement, he said, as a man of faith. Now, whenever you start, before I read the rest of the apology, as a man of faith, you're just using filler words, or you're using words looking for sympathy. Like, I'm a father, you know, I'm a happily married man, I'm a man of faith. You're just using things to make yourself look good in a situation where you don't look good. So I'll give you the rest of his statement via ESPN. As a man of faith, I believe in atonement and the path to forgiveness. I expected the commissioner's one-year suspension would provide the time for me to focus and make amends and remove my personal controversy from the teams that I and so many fans love. But in our current unforgiving climate, it has become painfully clear that is no longer possible, that whatever good I have done or could still do is outweighed by things I have said in the past. For those reasons, I am beginning the process of seeking buyers for the Suns and Mercury. And it just shows you that Robert Sarver doesn't get it. And I know he's already made that decision to sell the team, and he's going to start that process. And there are times that people are unfairly a victim of cancel culture. But in this case, You shouldn't be allowed to own the team. Or if there's outrage for things that you said or the way that you conducted yourself, you have to deal with the consequences, and I don't have sympathy for you here. But when you say in our current unforgiving climate, it just comes off making you look like a jackass, but it shouldn't be surprising. So there's really no more other reaction because Robert Sarver is getting what he deserves. Now, he's still going to get rewarded in a big-time way with the money that he's going to get for how much he bought the Suns and what he's going to make off the Suns. So I don't have sympathy for him. You did stupid things. You did awful things. You got caught. Then you're trying to say you're sorry. And now you have to face the music. And if you lose your team because of this and now you're going to agree to sell the team, that's on you. You were the one that did the wrong here. And I don't expect people right now to be really forgiving. Is there a road to be forgiven? Sure. There's a road for everyone to be forgiven. But I don't like the way that since the suspension came down, Sarver handled it. And I guess he's doing the league a favor by selling the team or starting that process to sell the team, because this was an issue that was not going to go away, especially with the season starting up. And you've already seen a lot of players voice their opinions on this. So you know all these teams go through media days and all that stuff upcoming. And a lot of players would have voiced their opinion on this. So for Robert Sarver, you could have elected to fight this. You could have elected to take the music, and instead you're going to sell the team. So that's pretty much all I have to say on that. I have no sympathy for him. Now, this Ime Udoka story today, this one's wild. Because when I hear what the possible punishment is, just from the way that it's being reported now, it doesn't really fit the infraction. So I think we all saw this late last night when you had Shams Charania and then Adrian Wojnarowski just dropped this report that Ime Udoka is facing a suspension for the entire 2022-2023 season. And when I read that last night, I go, well, what's the infraction? Why is a coach that just was in the NBA Finals going to be suspended for the entire season? And then I read it was because of an alleged consensual relationship with a female coworker in the Celtics organization, and he's expected to be suspended for a year. Now, when I hear a year-long suspension, and then you hear it followed up by he had a consensual relationship with a female coworker in the organization, is that really worthy of a year-long suspension? If you just take it for that's all we know about this situation, I would say no. Something seems fishy here. Something doesn't add up. The Boston Celtics have not addressed this yet. They have not officially suspended Ime Udoka for the 2022-2023 season, but it's clear that someone in the Celtics organization leaked this to Woj and leaked this to Shams Charania, so they wanted this out there before an official announcement came down. And let's be clear about that. This is not the NBA suspending him. From everything I've read so far, this is the Boston Celtics suspending him. Because if it was the NBA, I think a lot of people would say, well, why is the NBA stepping in here? Why is the NBA suspending him? This should be on the team and how the team is going to handle this. Their own team is saying that the coach that just got to the finals is getting suspended, and all we have to know so far is that there was allegedly a consensual relationship with the Celtics coach Ime Udoka and then a female coworker in the organization. Something doesn't add up here, and there has to be more to this story. And it's almost as if the Boston Celtics, by getting this story out there now, are probably trying to put the pressure on Ime Udoka to resign. And I just saw a report from Chris Haynes that Ime Udoka will not resign, but I'm starting to wonder, and it's crazy to even go here, and I'm shocked that this is the way that we're starting off the show today, because this story came out of nowhere, that the coach that just led you to the finals last year may never coach a game again for the Boston Celtics, and it looks like he definitely is not coaching a game this season. So you could speculate what the more is. Did the organization tell him to stop, and he just ignored the orders from his superiors? I'll speculate on this. Was maybe, because this seems personal, was he sleeping with someone's wife in the organization who also works for the team? But when you don't release a statement, and you just, in an anonymous way, leaked this to Adrian Wojnarowski, fair or not, it's going to make us in the media, us on the radio, TV, fans say, what really happened? And people are going to dig and people are going to speculate whether that speculation is fair or not. Because it doesn't add up when you hear that the coach of the Celtics had a consensual relationship with a female coworker, and now that coach is going to be suspended in all likelihood for a season. I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I'm not being told something. And the longer the Celtics allow this to linger, the longer the Celtics refuse to make a statement on this or refuse to hold a press conference, we're going to be continuously asking questions, well, what really did go on? You know, maybe I'm far off here, Ryan, and I'll open it up to you. When you hear that this is a consensual relationship that Ime Udoka allegedly had with a female coworker, and then you hear that it's a year-long suspension, are you just like me where you're saying, well, this doesn't add up with the math formula that we've been given here, and they're telling me it equals something like 1 + 1 = 3, if I want to steal a line from Jerry Jones, because that's what it is. The math doesn't equal up to what they're saying the punishment is and what the infraction here is here.
Especially when you look at, like, I hate to say, but this is the reality. Like, you know, if you are good at your job, athlete, coach, executive, you get a pass or teams leave.
Sweep it under the rug.
Right. We'll do whatever it takes to get you back on the field or back on the bench as soon as possible. So for the Celtics to be the one seemingly being proactive here and seemingly trying to lay down the hammer of a full season suspension for a guy who literally, what, 3 months ago took it to the NBA finals. Right.
This is not a lame duck coach. This is not some crappy coach that you're looking for a reason to get rid of him. You're looking for this coach to get fired. This guy just got the Celtics to the NBA finals and is well-respected around the league.
And their finals window's now. It's not like this is a rebuilding team where, okay, we'll just throw this year away and whatever. Like, this is a team where they are going, you know, they are the betting favorites right now to win the NBA title. And to have your coach be suspended for what we believe to be a full season for having a consensual relationship as an adult, like you said, there has to be way more to the story than what right now we're being led to believe.
And the only three things that I could think of is they told him to stop, he refused to do so, but I don't think that's going to be the case because that doesn't lead to a year-long suspension. I'm going to narrow this down to the way it's being reported right now is actually worse than what it is. And maybe there's some dynamic in that relationship where it ended ugly, if it even ended at all. And that's not fair to speculate to Ime Udoka, but the door is open. Pandora's box is open. But I'm starting to think, and this is just a guess. I have no factual information on this. It's just the way that when I read this and I'm trying to think, why is it a year-long suspension? And maybe we have to then start, and it's not fair to all the other females in the organization too. If you're a female today in the Boston Celtics organization, there's someone on Twitter, there's someone on the radio, there's someone on TV. There's people digging right now to see if you had a relationship with Ime Udoka or not. So I'll throw it out there to someone. Like, I want to know if there are higher-ups in the Celtics organization that has a wife or a girlfriend that works for the Celtics organization. Because if there's a link there, and you can't just assume, but that's just what my gut tells me right now. If there's a link there, then maybe it's someone that's a higher up in the Celtics organization on the business side, basketball operations, who knows, that Ime Udoka was sleeping with. And that's why it's personal, because they embarrass someone who's a higher up than Ime Udoka. Like, is that a plausible theory, Ryan?
Absolutely.
Because this is all internal, too. This does seem personal.
Right.
And this is not the NBA leading this. This is the Celtics leading this against their own coach.
100%. Right. Exactly.
By the way, if we could just have a moment to just, even though it seems like we're defending Ime Udoka a little bit, what is he doing? Nia Long? If I was able to have relationships with Nia Long, I would not be cheating on Nia Long. That's just me. Hot take, Hickey.
Now, there's a hot take. Yeah. There's a hot take
there
for
you. There is a hot take. There's no doubt about it. You know, I would get down on one knee and pray to the gods and thank them if I was able to ever have Nia Long as my girlfriend. I think they have a kid together, too. And I saw that they were engaged as well. So I don't know if they ever got married, but when you have that, why are you looking to try to sleep with someone else in the organization? So this is messy. And it's basically that we're in a waiting period, I would say, where we're waiting for the big news in this case to really drop. Like, we know what the infraction is and what the punitive action is going to be. And maybe Udoka gets fired. Maybe he never coaches a game again for the Boston Celtics. But something's not adding up right now, because if this was only a relationship in the workplace that was consensual, it doesn't add up to a year-long suspension in the sports world. It just doesn't. Look how many teams, college, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, that have swept things under the rug that don't even compare this, that pale into comparison to what Ime Udoka did, and is a lot worse than what Ime Udoka did, and that never comes to light, or the crime is not as, or the punishment is not as severe as what Ime Udoka is potentially facing. If there's more to this, and I eventually say, aha, I could see why, I just want to know what the more is, because I don't think we know all the details to this story. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Life of an NFL quarterback. We're going to see that tonight between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about it next.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, pro sandwich artist, amateur spokesperson, rolling!
New Subway delivery. Order only on the Subway app and get special deals. Like $0 delivery fee.
Chris, are you ordering on the Subway app right now?
Maybe?
Ooh, could I get in on that? Eat fresh, refresh. From the top, please. Freshly prepared for your order. Limited time at participating shops. Terms, taxes, and other fees still apply. Cut!
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I just watched a video on Twitter during the break, and I don't get some people, and I'm not someone that ever advocates for violence, but if you are someone that does a violent act on an airplane, you could be the biggest moron in America. Like, do we see fights at sporting events? Absolutely. I think those people are morons. Do we see fights, just random videos in the streets? Absolutely. I think those people are morons. But when you get into a fight on an airplane, you have to be one of the biggest idiots on this planet. So if people haven't seen this video, it's a pretty empty plane. And if you go on an airplane, sometimes there's first class, and that's kind of like an isolated section, 6-7 rows. And I've sat in first class 2 times in my life. It has never dawned on me, and maybe this is just the rule for this airlines, that if you have a first class ticket, you get your own bathroom in the front of the plane. I thought anyone could use that bathroom. Like the two times I sat in first class, I would not care if someone that wasn't sitting in first class walked up and used that bathroom, even if it was a bathroom only intended for first class. But there was a flight attendant that got up, and the flight attendant said, "Sir, you can't use that bathroom. This bathroom is for first class." And then you don't see the guy, but there's a little bit of what you could tell is a what looks like a mild argument. And then you hear the flight attendant say to the guy, "Sir, are you threatening me?" And then he turns around, the flight attendant, to walk away from the situation. And this moron, who's the passenger on this plane, then runs up and punches the flight attendant in the back of the head. Now, here's why I say you got to be the biggest idiot in the world if you get into a fight on the plane, or if you do anything illegal on the plane. There's no escape. Like, unless if you're D.B. Cooper and you're jumping out of the plane, you're punching the flight attendant, and the moment that plane lands on the ground, state troopers are going to walk on board, and they're going to remove your ass and throw your ass in jail. So I don't get why, if you're going to get into a fight, which there's many reasons why you would get into a fight, but if you're going to get into a fight, why would you ever do so on a plane? And we see this over and over and over again. And usually it's like a fight between passengers. I remember when that moron tried to get into it with Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson punched him. And I was actually defending Mike Tyson, because how big of a dope do you have to be to not only get in a fight with Mike Tyson, but get in a fight with Mike Tyson in a secluded area on a plane? But this guy who gets into a fight with the flight attendant and just punches the flight attendant while the flight attendant's walking away, and the whole plane's like, "Dude, what are you doing?" That's just the reaction I had is what are you doing, Ryan? Because there's no way to run. There's no way to hide. And it's not like if we got into a fight on the street, Ryan, and I ran up from behind and just smacked you in the back of the cabeza, I could run away. But the moment that plane is grounded, you're going to jail. I don't get it.
Right. Everything is escalated when it happens on a plane. So me fighting you in the street is going to be a lot different than me trying to fight someone on the plane. Not to mention, like, the plane's not crowded. So yeah. I don't know what the state of the bathroom is in the coach bathroom. It's either not crowded and it can't be that bad. So I don't know what you're getting so frustrated about if there's, you know, at least in the videos, a lot of empty seats in coach. Yeah. It can't be that, like, I don't know what you're annoyed about.
I got to assume this guy was just hammered on the flight. And then he walked up to go use the bathroom. They said no, and this guy was maybe had too many pops, and then elected to pop the flight attendant.
I mean, that's the I only hope
that's a justification. That's the only thing I think of.
I hope, because I hope no one's that stupid.
Or
but,
you're just nuts.
I mean, people on planes, I feel like that just brings out the worst. I know everyone flies, but I feel like just the biggest nuts always go on planes.
What do you mean?
Like that guy was dead sober. I think that's I would not be surprised.
Okay.
Just people are lose their minds for whatever reason.
Well, I like to think we're somewhat normal.
Yes.
If, let's just say, I wasn't in first class, but like I was in the seventh or eighth row of the plane, but it wasn't in first class, it was in coach, and I walk up because I had to go to the bathroom to use the bathroom, and someone says to me, "Oh, sir, you have to use the bathroom in the back of the plane," I could see myself going, "Why can I use that bathroom? Oh, it's for first class. Oh, okay." Like, maybe roll your eyes, be like, "That's so stupid." But then I would just simply walk to the back of the plane. I would not think, "Oh, let me get into an argument with the flight attendant," and then punch the flight attendant in the back of the head when the flight attendant was walking away.
There's a nice federal offense. That guy's going to be
so stupid.
Enjoying some time behind bars.
And I would imagine he's not going to be allowed on that airline ever again.
And not condoning violence. But I will say, if you are to punch a flight attendant, and if you're going to go to jail, get your money's worth. That was a horrible punch. That was the softest punch I've ever seen. It was a sucker punch, back of the head. Guy didn't even see it coming.
Well, that was
and
the thing.
And it barely did any damage.
The guy who looked like he was about to go to a resort with the shirt that he was wearing, he threw the punch and then ran away. Like, where are you running to? You're running to row 32 on the plane? There's no escape.
Can we even call it a punch? Like, I know his fist was closed and it was in a swinging motion.
Yeah.
But that was bad.
Look at you.
I'm not trying to be a tough guy. I'm just saying, like, that would, like, to go to jail for that is just, like, Dude, punching anyone on a plane is stupid and moronic. I would never do it.
Well, like I said,
but to
if you get in a fight on a plane,
that form.
If you get in a fight on a plane, you're one of the biggest morons on this planet.
I agree.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here. That guy was a moron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And by the way, to begin with, it's very unpleasant to go to the bathroom on an airplane.
Yes.
Like if I'm on a 3-hour flight and I have to go, I'm trying to hold it as long as possible. And also for a man of my size that is 6'4", 6'5", I have to basically like duck my head down 3 or 4 inches just so I could fit into the stall because those stalls are not big and they're not very tall and they're not very wide.
Maybe that's why you want to go to first class.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The bathroom's not that much better in first class. It really isn't.
It's not
like they have like a butler in the bathroom and they're like spraying things and saying, here's
mint.
The 2-ply toilet paper and giving you a mint. Yeah, that's not the case. Like, come on. Jeez, like this guy punching a flight attendant because they tell you to go use the bathroom in the back of the plane. Like,
I think that it was going from Cabo to LAX.
Oh, is that what it was?
I'm not sure how long of a flight that is. That does not sound very far. That's in Southern California. And I can't imagine more than a few hours at most.
2 hours and 30 minutes.
Probably should hold it.
A 2 hour and 30 minute flight?
Not to mention.
Wait, hold on. A 2 hour and 30 minute flight, and you can't even avoid going to jail in 2 hours and 30 minutes on an airplane. Oy, oy, oy. What's your thought tonight on the game, Steelers and Browns? I think that this is going to be like about a field goal game. This is going to be one of those Thursday night games where last week, right, we were living in the penthouse. It was awesome. It was great. You got the Chargers and the Chiefs, really fun. This feels like it's going to be a really sloppy, ugly game with two offenses. Cleveland has a great back in Nick Chubb. We all know that. I don't trust Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback when he has to start many games, not just a few, many games, and that's what he's being asked to do since Deshaun Watson suspended for the first 11 games. The Steelers offense, Brian McFadden joined us early in the week. He said it was a rough watch so far. He's not wrong. That line stinks. Najee Harris is clearly banged up. The wide receivers are inconsistent. And, oh, yeah, by the way, even though Big Ben's trying to defend him and saying he didn't deserve the booing and the Stark Kenny chant were going on in the stadium, Mitch Trubisky, yeah, Ben's not wrong that Mitch didn't play his worst game ever. But still, when Mitch gives you an effort, there's a reason why we call him Mitch Trubisky. The guy's still a bad quarterback, and there's no upside in playing him, and that's why they should go to Kenny Pickett. So I would not expect this game to be very appeasing, and I would not expect this game to be a very sexy matchup between these two teams. I think this is going to be an ugly defensive game between the Browns and the Steelers. Turnovers, low scoring, and at the end of the game, you're probably going to be jumping up and down saying, thank God this game is over.
And this could set offensive football back like 5 years. It's going to be bad. I'll say 13-10 Browns.
Man.
Ugly.
You don't watch a lot of football then if you're just thinking this game's going to set football.
Well, I've watched. Years. Listen, that says a lot coming from a Colts fan who's watched some ugly offense so far for their first 2 weeks.
Did you watch Temple and Rutgers over the weekend?
Can't say I watched that one, no.
Where a pick one. Six was the difference. It wasn't even like a great offensive score. That was an ugly, ugly, ugly football game. And that's what happens in the early part of the season. You get some ugly football. But these two teams, they're going to play ugly football for most of the season. The Browns will be interesting when Deshaun Watson does come back. And then the Steelers will be interesting when Kenny Pickett does become the starter. And unless you win the game and you have Mitch Trubisky play really well tonight, I think that the end is near here for Mitch Trubisky in Pittsburgh. And you're probably going to see Kenny Pickett start next week up against the Jets. That's the perfect timing. And I made that clear all throughout the summer. They should have started him before the season. He should have been named the starter in Kenny Pickett. But since they refused to wait, it seems like that week 4 date, if you don't do anything to impress through 3 games, yeah, then you hand the baton over to Kenny Pickett, Ryan.
I hate to agree, but this could be the final stand. Mitch is not that I thought he was going to be great by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been really bad.
Were you one of those suckers that said, oh, he's in Buffalo, he was away from Chicago, now he's with Pittsburgh, and he did make the playoffs twice with the Bears? Were you one of those people that were like, not that you ever thought he was going to be great, but like a little optimistic with him in Pittsburgh?
Optimistic in the sense that I thought he'd be better than most people gave him credit for, yes.
Well, I didn't know that about
he
you.
He would be good enough to start a majority of the games. Like, I thought he could start 12, 13, 14 games this year. I didn't think the Steelers were going to make the playoffs. I thought they were actually going to finish under 500. So not that I thought it was going to be good. I thought it was going to be good enough to at least fend off Kenny for like three quarters of the year.
When you went to Auburn, by the way, where did you fly into?
Atlanta.
Did you have any issues on the plane?
No, thankfully.
Okay, just making sure. I just wanted to make sure that video wasn't you or
no,
something like that.
No, first of all, the form was, not that you know I've ever thrown a punch before, but the form would be better. Yeah, but no, in and out was fine.
I can't really see you getting into a fight.
I've never gotten into a fight
before. I think
you're
too nice of a guy to get into a fight.
I can get mad, but no one's ever tried to fight me before.
The only time I remember seeing you really mad was the day that I walked up to you with a camera, right when I walked into the office after the Colts choked it up in Jacksonville. And you may ask which time. I was at the end of last season. I walked up to you with the camera to get your reaction. And that was the first thing I said to you when walking to the office. I purposely that day arrived later than when I usually do because I just wanted that to be the first reaction was me walking up to you with the camera right before the show, still giving me enough time to prepare. And that day you were as red as a tomato. You look like a lot of people commented on that video. Zach, did Ryan take a swing at you after you press pause on the video?
Which tough day.
Yeah, it was a bad day for you.
Tough day.
What's worse, by the way? The loss this year in Jacksonville, the loss last year in Jacksonville? You being a Colts fan.
I mean, definitely last year. They should have made it to the playoffs. But in terms of how they played, I think they played even worse in week 2 than they did last year.
Yeah, which is tough to do.
Very tough to do. Very. I mean, they score a point. A shutout. 3 picks.
What was the final score of that game again?
Which one? Yesterday? Last week? 24-0.
Yeah, I know what the answer was. That was brutal. How many picks did Matt Ryan throw again?
3.
Yeah. How many rushing yards did Jonathan Taylor have again?
9? I don't even know. 20? It was ugly.
By the way, you remember how before the season started, I said to you, I'm going to do a nice gesture. I'm going to draft Jonathan Taylor for my fantasy team and the Colts defense.
Yeah.
I've dropped the Colts defense.
How's that going?
I'm 2-0, which no one cares about my fantasy team, but I dropped the Colts defense. I've elected to keep Jonathan Taylor on my roster.
Well, smart, especially this week. Don't play him this week.
It is
anyone out there, don't play the Colts.
Well, I got to play Jonathan Taylor this week.
Defense. Colts defense. Defense. Sorry.
Well, I caught this week. Snip, snip. Goodbye. Done. I'll never trust him for the rest of the season defensively. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jerry Jones wants chaos at his quarterback competition, and he wants there to actually be a competition. I don't get this one. This is just wild that he wants chaos at the quarterback position. We'll delve into that and play the audio when we return.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show. You may have Dak Prescott come back sooner rather than later. Who knows? It's still very ambiguous. And Jerry Jones, there's a reason why I call them the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. Because this should be a very easy week for the Dallas Cowboys. You just beat the Bengals when no one gave you a shot. Cooper Rush is now 2-0 as a quarterback for the Cowboys if you go back to his start last year. And there should be no extra drama that comes up with the Dallas Cowboys this week when you don't play until Monday night up against the Giants in New Jersey. So I thought this should have been a very easy week for Dallas. And Jerry Jones, since he speaks to the media 9,000 times, he also does that interview like multiple times throughout the week on 105 Through the Fan, which may be some of the best radio and one of the best bang for your bucks in terms of a weekly spot in the history of radio. And Jerry Jones just can't help himself. It's just like, dude, shut up. There should be no drama added here. There should be no reason for the Cowboys to be in the news this week or be brought up on this show unless we are talking about their game upcoming against the New York Football Giants. So we have two clips here for you. Jerry Jones says he hopes Cooper Rush pushes Dak Prescott for his job. Listen up.
You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If it comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get there.
Do you think he can do that?
Well, I don't know that, but I would. You can't find on record where I said I thought Dak Prescott could do it when he stepped in and had the chance to do that, but he didn't.
So I could understand clearly him wanting to see Cooper Rush do well, like that's obvious. But when you say I would love to see that happen, and then when there's a follow up, because the first part, it was unnecessary, but it wasn't as bad. But then you have the follow-up and the line of where he starts to say, I don't know if Cooper Rush could do it. That's fair. That's at least showing some support to Dak. But then when you say, oh, when Dak first took over, you never could find a quote for me of me saying that he was going to be the guy. So that's basically saying, I'm not saying that Cooper Rush is the guy, but if he plays really well, maybe he is the guy. When you just gave Dak Prescott all that money. And I know you're a return to the practice field today, Dak Prescott. If I'm Dak Prescott, and I get it. You know what you're getting yourself into when you sign up to be the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just like rolling my eyes at this. And I would imagine at this point, Dak is immune to anything that the owner, Jerry Jones, does say. Because this guy puts his foot in his mouth each and every week. And it just never stops, Ryan. Who would have ever thought that we'd be having a conversation today about Jerry Jones welcoming a quarterback competition and a quarterback drama situation with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. It's unbelievable.
And the best part is, like, there is obviously a way you can talk about wanting Cooper Rush to have success without it being a story and just saying, oh, yeah, you know, hope he plays well, but this is Dak's team. And instead, he gets to go, well, you know, hey, look, Dak took someone else's job for playing well. Maybe Cooper Rush will do the same thing. It's like, you just paid Dak $40 million. Now you're saying that his backup potentially could keep Dak out for like the rest of his career? It's like, what are we doing?
I think Jerry Jones is starting to doubt Dak Prescott. He's seen the injuries. He's seen a quarterback that's been very good but not great. And now you're starting this drama between Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. That's not the way that you treat a franchise quarterback. And it's a really bad look. I do believe that Jerry Jones is starting to doubt his own quarterback in Dak Prescott, because you know now what happens. If Cooper Rush plays well this weekend, and let's say miraculously Dak Prescott's ready to go next week and he's returned to the practice field already, are you really going to say when that next week rolls around that, yeah, we're going to roll with Cooper Rush over Dak Prescott and give Dak another week? What Jerry Jones needed to say there was, I want Cooper Rush to do well. I want Cooper Rush to win the games that he plays. But make no mistake about it, when Dak Prescott is ready to return and he's healthy to return, this is 110% his job. And he failed to say that today. It's a bad look for Jerry Jones.
What other team with a star quarterback would have any sort of similar...
Well, I wouldn't call Dak a star.
Not... in terms of name and recognition,
then
you paid him.
Like,
like Magic Cliff Kingsbury goes, oh, Trace McSorley looked really good. Man, if Trace keeps playing well, I don't know about Kyler. You just paid the man. He's your guy. What are we talking about?
Or like last year, I know they haven't paid him yet, but Tyler Huntley, oh, he played well. Lamar Jackson, you should be looking over your shoulder, dude, because you're not going to be this team's quarterback for the long term.
Lamar who, huh?
It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. We'll play you one more from Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones says there's a chance Cooper Rush could play well enough to keep Dak on the bench. There's more to this. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, of course we want Dak to be here next week. That's the thing. You do. But Dak and I want Rush to lead a team to a victory here and get another win and get another win. And that's the only way to look at it. Looking back when Dak was playing instead of Tony, it was game by game. It wasn't the long look we had after 2 months to look back. It was actually play by play, almost series by series. So do I think that it's possible for Rush to come in here and play at a level to win games the way Prescott did when he took over for Romo? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
I certainly think that's possible.
But is it possible that Cooper could play well enough that when Dak's ready to go, Dak won't go because Cooper's played so well?
Well, it was impossible, ostensibly, that Rush could, I mean, that Prescott could play that well and keep Romo out of the championship game.
He's starting to doubt his quarterback. That's what he's doing. Remember, right before the season started, the team's going to run through Ezekiel Elliott. That's not the way that your team is going to be set up when Dak Prescott's healthy. And now you're starting this nonsense with a quarterback controversy of, if Cooper Rush plays well, who knows? I'm not saying I think he could usurp Dak Prescott. But when Dak and Tony and all that stuff was going, like, what are you doing? Stop. You could question, we could question if Dak is the guy. But you made an investment that Dak Prescott is your franchise guy. And every shot that you've had this year to take a shot at Dak Prescott through the Zeke thing and now through Cooper Rush, Jerry Jones is doing that. Like, Ryan, I'll ask you, is Jerry Jones starting to doubt if Dak is truly the guy that he thought he was getting when he paid him all that money?
And it's hard not to think that, right? Because if you had no doubts, you're not basically encouraging, or it sounds like he's not even encouraging. He's rooting right now for Cooper Rush to put Dak on the bench and play that well. Like, that is, so yeah, it's hard not to doubt that he doesn't fully back Dak.
And don't get it twisted. You should want to see Cooper Rush play well, because that then means the Cowboys are weathering the storm and preventing the ship from sinking when Dak is out. But there's a difference in saying, I want Cooper Rush to play well and I want the Cowboys to win, then who knows what's going to happen if Cooper Rush does play well. That doesn't add up to me. That doesn't make sense when you just paid Dak Prescott a boatload of money to be your franchise quarterback. And the only way that I could interpret it, when you go back to the Ezekiel Elliott comments before the start of the season saying the team still runs through Zeke, when we all know that this is Dak Prescott's team on the offensive side of the ball, and now this Cooper Rush nonsense, is that maybe Jerry Jones is starting to have buyer's remorse, or maybe Jerry Jones is only getting older and older, is starting to look around and say, I just think Dak is good, very good, not great. I don't think we're going to win a Super Bowl. And he, in some weird way, is setting himself up to maybe wishfully think that Cooper Rush is going to be able to do that. I'll give you a hot take here. Cooper Rush is not taking the Dallas Cowboys to a Super Bowl this season. Cooper Rush would not lead the Cowboys to the playoffs this season. You need Dak Prescott. Even though I have my own doubts about Dak Prescott, I wasn't the one, though, that just paid him. And to kind of just take these little shots or make this a very confusing situation now doesn't make sense to me. I don't see what is to gain here for Jerry Jones, but this is what Jerry Jones does. Whenever there is a situation that doesn't need drama, and if there's like a little fire that could easily be put out, Jerry Jones walks over with the gasoline, and he dumps the gasoline on the fire. There's no quarterback controversy. There's no quarterback competition in Dallas. But the owner of the team is leaving this open to interpretation and not automatically guaranteeing that Dak's going to be the guy when he comes on back. And I 110% can guarantee you that when Dak Prescott is healthy, I don't give a damn what Cooper Rush has done. Beating Cincinnati, if he beats the Giants this week, whenever Dak says, I'm ready to go, Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott is going to be the head coach and the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for the rest of the season. And Mike McCarthy said, yeah, we're going to go start Dak Prescott. And if Jerry Jones tries to jump in and say, no, play Cooper Rush, then he's more lost than how we already think Jerry Jones is already very lost to begin with. Coming on back, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.